Really, I'd like to look around for a better place, but this one will have to do because my ally is shot. Paperwhite, panting, and even though it's only just cooling off, he's shivering. I cover the floor of the cave with a layer of pine needles, unroll my sleeping bag, and tuck him into it. I get a couple of pills and some water into him when he's not noticing, but he refuses to eat even the fruit. Then he just lies there, his eyes trained on my face as I build a sort of blind out of vines to conceal the mouth of the cave. The result is unsatisfactory. An animal might not question it, but a human would see hands had manufactured it quickly enough. I tear it down in frustration.
Katniss?
He says. I go over to him and brush the hair back from his eyes.
Thanks for finding me.
You would have found me if you could, I say. His forehead's burning up, like the medicine's having no effect at all. Suddenly, out of nowhere, I'm scared he's going to die.
Yes, look, if I don't make it back, he begins.
Don't talk like that. I didn't drain all that pus for nothing, I say.
I know, but just in case I don't.
He tries to continue. No, Peeta, I don't even want to discuss it, I say, placing my fingers on his lips to quiet him.
But I...
He insists. Impulsively, I lean forward and kiss him, stopping his words. This is probably overdue anyway, since he's right. We are supposed to be madly in love. It's the first time I've ever kissed a boy. Which should make some sort of impression, I guess, but all I can register is how unnaturally hot his lips are from the fever. I break away and pull the edge of the sleeping bag up around him. You're not going to die. I forbid it, all right?
All right,
he whispers. I step out in the cool evening air just as the parachute floats down from the sky. My fingers quickly undo the tie, hoping for some real medicine to treat Peeta's leg. Instead, I find a pot of hot broth. Haymitch couldn't be sending me a clearer message. One kiss equals one pot of broth. I can almost hear his snarl.
You're supposed to be in love, sweetheart. The boy's dying. Give me something I can work with.
And he's right. If I want to keep Peeta alive, I've got to give the audience something more to care about. Star-crossed lovers desperate to get home together. Two hearts beating as one. Romance. Never having been in love, this is going to be a real trick. I think of my parents. The way my father never failed to bring her gifts from the woods. The way my mother's face would light up at the sound of his boots at the door. The way she almost stopped living when he died. Peeta, I say, trying for the special tone that my mother used only with my father. He's dozed off again, but I kiss him awake, which seems to startle him. Then he smiles as if he'd be happy to lie there gazing at me forever. He's great at this stuff. I hold up the pot. Peeta, look what Haymitch has sent you. Chapter 20. Getting the broth into Peeta takes an hour of coaxing, begging, threatening, and yes, kissing, but finally, sip by sip, he empties the pot. I let him drift off to sleep then and attend to my own needs, wolfing down a supper of grusling and roots while I watch the daily report in the sky. No new casualties. Still, Peeta and I have given the audience a fairly interesting day. Hopefully the game makers will allow us a peaceful night. I automatically look around for a good tree to nest in before I realize that's over. At least for a while. I can't very well leave Peeta unguarded on the ground. I left the scene of his last hiding place on the bank of the stream untouched. How could I conceal it? And we're a scant 50 yards downstream. I put on my glasses, place my weapons in readiness, and settle down to keep watch. The temperature drops rapidly, and soon I'm chilled to the bone. Eventually, I give in and slide into the sleeping bag with Peeta. It's toasty warm. And I snuggle down gratefully until I realize it's more than warm. It's overly hot because the bag is reflecting back his fever. I check his forehead and find it burning and dry. I don't know what to do. Leave him in the bag and hope the excessive heat breaks the fever? Take him out and hope the night air cools him off? I end up just dampening a strip of bandage and placing it on his forehead. It seems weak, but I'm afraid to do anything too drastic. spend the night half sitting, half lying next to PETA, refreshing the bandage, and trying not to dwell on the fact that by teaming up with him, I've made myself far more vulnerable than when I was alone. Tethered to the ground, on guard, with a very sick person to take care of. But I knew he was injured, and still I came after him. I'm just gonna have to trust that whatever instinct sent me to find him was a good one. When the sky turns rosy, I notice the sheen of sweat on PETA's lip and discover the fever has broken. He's not back to normal, but it's come down a few degrees. Last night, when I was gathering vines, I came upon a bush of rue's berries. I strip off the fruit and mash it up in the broth pot with cold water. PETA's struggling to get up when I reach the cave.
"I woke up and you were gone," he says. "I was worried about you."
I have to laugh as I ease him back down. "You were worried about me? Have you taken a look at yourself lately?"
"I thought Cato and Clove might have found you. They like to hunt at night," he says, still serious.
"Clove? Which one is that?" I ask.
"The girl from District 2. She's still alive, right?" he says.
"Yes, there's just them and us and Thresh and Foxface," I say. "That's what I nicknamed the girl from 5. How do you feel?"
"Better than yesterday. This is an enormous improvement over the mud," he says. "Clean clothes and medicine and a sleeping bag. And you."
Oh, right, the whole romance thing. I reach out to touch his cheek and he catches my hand and presses it against his lips. I remember my father doing this very thing to my mother, and I wonder where PETA picked it up. Surely not from his father and the witch. "No more kisses for you until you've eaten," I say. We get him propped up against the wall, and he obediently swallows the spoonfuls of the berry mush I feed him. He refuses the gruesling again, though.
"You didn't sleep?" PETA says.
"I'm all right," I say. "But the truth is, I'm exhausted."
"Sleep now, I'll keep watch. I'll wake you if anything happens," he says.
I hesitate.
"Katniss, you can't stay up forever."
He's got a point there. I'll have to sleep eventually. And probably better to do it now when he seems relatively alert and we have daylight on our side. "All right," I say, "but just for a few hours. Then you wake me." It's too warm for the sleeping bag now. I smooth it out on the cave floor and lie down, one hand on my loaded bow in case I have to shoot at a moment's notice. PETA sits beside me, leaning against the wall, his bad leg stretched out before him, his eyes trained on the world outside.
"Go to sleep,"
he says softly. His hand brushes the loose strands of my hair off my forehead. Unlike the staged kisses and caresses so far, this gesture seems natural and comforting. I don't want him to stop, and he doesn't. He's still stroking my hair when I fall asleep. Too long. I sleep too long. I know from the moment I open my eyes that we're into the afternoon. PETA's right beside me, his position unchanged. I sit up, feeling somehow defensive, but better rested than I've been in days. "PETA, you were supposed to wake me after a couple of hours," I say.
"For what? Nothing's going on here," he says. "Besides, I like watching you sleep. You don't scowl. Improves your looks a lot."
This, of course, brings on a scowl that makes him grin. That's when I notice how dry his lips are. I test his cheek, hot as a coal stove. He claims he's been drinking, but the containers still feel full to me. I give him more fever pills and stand over him while he drinks first one, then a second quart of water. Then I tend to his minor wounds, the burns, the stings, which are showing improvement. I steel myself and unwrap the leg. My heart drops into my stomach. It's worse, much worse. There's no more pus in evidence, but the swelling has increased and the tight, shiny skin is inflamed. Then I see the red streak starting to crawl up his leg. Blood poisoning. Unchecked, it will kill him for sure. My chewed up leaves and ointment won't make a dent in it. We'll need strong anti-infection drugs from the capital. I can't imagine the cost of such potent medicine. If Haymitch pulled every donation from every sponsor, would he have enough? I doubt it. Gifts go up in price the longer the games continue. What buys a full meal on day one buys a cracker on day 12. And the kind of medicine PETA needs would have been at a premium from the beginning.